Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
Now, there's an anti-gang unit that went to Westbury yesterday, and they arrested a man who was in possession of drugs. And I'm not quite sure if this is the reason for the attack, but subsequent to that, the community mobilized and they ended up attacking the police. There's been stories of people that live close to drug dealers, for example. And they'll say things like, well, actually, the area around the drug dealer's home is probably the safest because nobody wants any action around there. And then if you go to certain communities, they'll even tell you things like the drug dealers are the ones that provide for the community over there. They offer jobs. They basically keep the economy running. And they make sure that they regulate the crime that happens there. And the reason why I say regulate is because they don't eradicate it. Obviously, dealing drugs is a crime in itself. But the kind of crime that happens is crime that is sanctioned by them. And so sometimes you find that communities are actually in support of drug dealers that live there. It happens in colored communities quite a lot. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, there was a story of, you know, Stanfield. He was arrested, I think, late last year. And now the community in Cape Town is mobilizing for his release, saying that it's not the same without him. Obviously, you know, in a turf where there's gang activity, if you take out the leader, you create a leadership vacuum. And that can sometimes be even worse. We've seen this even with countries, for example, right? You go to Iraq, you think you're going to take out Saddam Hussein, and then when you leave the place in an even more unstable position.
Pablo Escobar situation.
Yeah.
And he passed away in his neighborhood because that's where he was, you know, shielded and essentially insulated by that community.
What do we do about a situation like this, Mpo?
There's nothing you can do about it. As you say, because of socioeconomic standings, people will protect those that make life slightly easier. And up until such a time as government does something to sort out socioeconomic issues, there's nothing you can do about crime. We've spoken about this so many times on the show, that up until such time as people are okay in terms of their living standards, crime will never go anywhere.
It's the hand that feeds you. And I think as people also, we need to decide whether you want to keep protecting the hand that feeds you, or you don't mind going to bed hungry as long as, you know, you sleep well at night with your own morals, as much as you may be on an empty stomach. Because with a lot of people, it's a matter of survival. These are the guys, when there's no employment, these are the guys who provide some form of employment to get the economy going, who get their car washed, who open car washes, who open shisanyama, bottle stores, sometimes grocery stores, some even at football clubs, where they take the money from the drugs to keep these kids in the neighborhood out of the streets. So as a community member, you need to decide, you know, with your own morals, or do you succumb to the pressure and you
morals
protect this
don't
guy?
Pay the bills, so.
But guys, this is the same community that calls reporters when they're protesting, saying that they need police intervention, specifically in Westbury. I do not know how many times we've had reporters go to Westbury when there have been shootings where children have been hit by stray bullets. They are the very same community that consistently is protesting. You've had crime in Daba and Imbizo's there. Then for me, when you have a police officer saying that ridding this area of crime is going to need a collaborative effort, that as the community, you're also going to have to assist us. And then they are shocked. They say, no, play your role. What do we have to do? No, because we live among these thieves. We know who they are. And clearly here, we'll even protect them.
In fact, the day prior, a child had been shot in Westbury.
You see.
So, you know, and I mean, even Atlanta Mato was commenting about this and saying they're very disappointed as police services because the cops are literally getting pelted. Stones, bottles, everything. I think there was even a video.
There's a video on X,
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what you say about a situation like that, but maybe you can give us a shout and let us know what your own personal thoughts are. Maybe you live in a community that is affected by these things. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand, maybe because we don't live there. Maybe there are bigger factors at play. Maybe these people are in the employ of this guy who was arrested, right?
True.
And so now they're protecting their boss.
Or,
so, and it's wrong to say it's a community that kind of mobilized. It's his staff that mobilized.
Or, as you had rightfully said when you're setting up this conversation, is it a matter of better the devil? I know. We know what Caesar is like when he is at the helm of this particular gang, how he takes care of the community. When he leaves, we don't know what the next person's going to be like. Maybe he's going to be terrorizing the community. So better the devil we know.
Give us a shout and let us know.
You know, I think also the problem is with the cops. When it suits them, they come and arrest the drug dealers, right? But when it's in their favor, they come and collect bribes. When the people go and report the crimes or the kingpins, the very same cops oust the people that that reported the crimes, and then those people become targets. So now people are frustrated with the cops, not realizing that the cops are actually trying to help them by raiding the community of the drug dealers. But because of the frustration, the people now turn to attack the cops and focus their anger towards the cops.
There is another very good point, right? In that there are certain criminals who have access to a cops. And so those criminals orchestrate arrests of their
competition.
Yes, competitors.
Competitors, yeah.
And so those people, obviously, once they get taken out of the way, it creates an environment where you can operate with impunity.
Letani umkhwanazi ayeze Westbury umkhwanazi azosolva yonke le nkinga lelaphayana ayingeke phela bafethu. Kids getting shot bese abantu bazoprotect the very same gangsters. Aibu. Letani umkhwanazi, guys.
The colored communities is a very difficult situation, and I hate calling people colored because, I mean, that's a derogatory term that was forced on people by the apartheid system. It's an apartheid classification in the first place. So the cops are going in there to come and do their jobs, and they are pelted with stones. So who must worry about the colored communities if the colored communities don't worry about themselves?
Caesar, I think it's a case of better the devil you know, right? It's the same with a lot of people in our country when it comes to the ANC. People that have gotten RDP houses, that are receiving grants, they believe that if another party comes into power, these things will go away. But that's the dependency thing. So, yeah.
Ayikho yonke le nto indaba ukuthi social economy. Befuthi izibhayi izinto izibhayi singazenza for social economy. And nizibalile lapho. Le nto le yaseWestbury. Ya mina for mina ngikhondoni. Hayi angikhondoni kahle kahle for mina. Into engekho. But nezenzakala la eSoweto. Bakhwika bohado ukuthi bafahla kabudaki. But nezenzakala ngali kuba colored.
But even no darky. Khona amaginsa owazi ukuthi amaginsa. And they move around and nothing mm-hmm. happens to them?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And will be protected by the community.
Mm. This topic reminds me of the movie American Gangster, Denzel Washington,
oh, yes.
Where he was Frank Lucas's assistant. And then he became the main drug dealer. And then when he was busted, he said, I took care of Harlem. And Harlem is going to take care of me. It's going to take care of me. So usually, fairly around the drug dealer's house, those guys have protection.
We're joined on the line by Paul. He's in Midrand. He is a cop himself. Maybe you can tell us some of the things you witness when you're on duty, Paul. How's it going?
Hi, how are you, sir?
We are well, thank you.
Thank you. I think the biggest challenge that we have is that in the, I would say, in the colored community, it's very, very difficult to actually have law enforcement or law enforcement working properly because of the historical background of those communities, like from the days of apartheid. Yes, I would just to put it into perspective, I'll just put it this way. I work with some old man, and he used to tell me that he has already gone on pension. That he used to say, you could not, you know, during those days of apartheid, you could not stop a white person or maybe arrest a white person as a black person. You would, maybe if you had stopped that car, you would actually have to wait for a white person. So historically, those communities were more like you would have, because white officers, there were a lot of white officers in the force. So they'll be the one who would go to these communities because, you know, you had categories. You had blacks who were third-class citizens, and then you had second-class citizens and first-class citizens, which happened to have been white. And so those communities then would go in the same direction. So therefore, that is has still it has lingered on into democracy. So therefore now, the police who are serving those communities happen to be black. So most of the time, if anything has to be done, they have to get the police from outside because the police stations are generally paralyzed. Because if they try anything, I remember we went to arrest one guy, and the community came out with pots. They started banging pots, and they were getting a lot. And I was saying to these guys, we need to get out of here. Otherwise, it's going to be chaos. We're going to have a problem because the community, they don't even want to know what has this person done, whether he's wrong or not, but they just started banging pots. So it's more of a close knit. So you have the question of race comes into play, that you have these guys who think they can come here and do as they, as and we are, you know, that element of superiority also comes into play.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's where we're going to leave it. But I actually had never heard of that. It's very, very eye-opening rather. Thank you very much for that. That's Paul in Midrand, who is a police officer himself.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.